I'm Emmanuel Jansen, and I am the director for Alive in Christ, and this is Mr. John Gimler, who is from Community Counseling Service out of New York, which are assisting with all of the nuts and bolts of the Alive in Christ appeal. What we're going to try to do in the very brief time that we have this afternoon is go through just a few things, because I assume that within a few months, many of you are going to be in congregations by yourself, and your congregations are going to be involved in Alive in Christ. In fact, some of them more so than others by the time you get there, if you get there this fall or whenever. And we will go through a few things, and hopefully you might have a few minutes to ask some questions. I don't know whether we will have time, because we're on a pretty tight schedule this afternoon also. But there are basically three phases to the program. Phase number one, which actually started last fall, is the major gift phase. And so I would like for you to try to remember that when we're talking about a major gift, we're talking about gifts of $25,000 and above. And those are given usually in a pledge over a five-year period. So the major gift phase, which started last fall, actually will run all the way through 1985. But also the second phase of the program is going to be starting probably in October, about October of 85, which we call Project Early Vision. Now, the Project Early Vision are gifts from individuals of from $5,000 to $25,000. And then the third phase of the program, which if you are going to be in a congregation, are going to quite obviously get quite involved, and that is in the congregational phase, which starts either late December or about the 1st of January of 1986 and will really peak with a lot of activity during the Lenten season of 1986. If you have the one brochure that is the colored brochure, maybe you can, I don't have one of those with me right now, but on that, that one. If you take a look at that, open it up, and in a place there you have the breakdown financially. And I want to run through that just... Is it the last page in the brochure where you have the breakdown financially? And this is where the monies are going. Now, remember that was mentioned in the film. In 1983, Synod decided to have a major appeal, which is now called Alive in Christ. They set a minimum goal of $60 million with an expanded goal of $100 million. And so you have the breakdown. Now, comparing this to Forward in Remembrance, which was a few years ago, Forward in Remembrance, the great share of the money went for world missions. If you look at this, you will see that close to 50%, about 46%, goes for higher education, particularly thinking of those that are studying for full-time church work. And you will see the breakdown for, I mentioned the first part there, scholarships for students studying for the ministry and the like, $5 to $10 million. This money is going to be invested in church extension, and only the interest will be used for scholarship funds. In other words, not the principal. And then, of course, you go down and you will see where you have new construction projects, obligations of things that have already happened, and then deferred maintenance. The second part, and going through this very quickly, the World Missions, which is a carry-on, and here you can talk to Dr. Westcott, and he'll tell you that they could use from up to the whole $100 million just in World Missions. Well, rather the third area, you look at North American Missions, and you'll see the expansion from $4 to $18,500,000. These are things that are going to be carried on within the various districts that you happen to be serving a parish, the starting of a new congregation, or inner city, or cross-cultural, and so forth. So this is a tremendously needed area. And then, of course, point number four, new communications. And this is an area that it looks rather small. You have $1 million to $3,500,000. I might tell you that just last summer, the Southern Baptists voted to spend $100 million just in this area alone. And this is an area that we could used desperately in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Point number five, as you will notice, is for, and these are people, or pastors and their widows, teachers and their widows, and incidentally, we have 3,300 of them in that older age. I'm not just talking about people 65. I'm talking about the people who are probably pushing 80 and up into their 90s. People who were just on the old pension plan. And incidentally, you might take note of this. Any pastor, and many of those pastors were not able to get on Social Security, if both the husband and wife are living, the maximum total support that they are receiving is $220 a month. That's the maximum. If only the widow is living, the maximum that is received is $132 a month. That's it. Now, if you bear in mind that most of them are not receiving Social Security, that is far below the poverty level. In fact, I recall as I was speaking at a pastoral conference in Nebraska, an elderly man, pastor, came up to me who was in his 80s and said, not only do we only receive $220 a month, but approximately $100 a month of that goes for health insurance. And so they have this elderly couple, a man who has been in a ministry, he had been in the active ministry for over 50 years, is living in a bedroom and a kitchen. That's it. Now, as you look at this, 5,300,000 to 7,300,000, it will help them. It's not all that great. This money is going to be invested, and you take the mortality rates of these people to project how long they're going to live. Both the interest and the principal will be used, and that will give those people $20 a month increase. That's right, $20 a month increase, and hopefully the increase of inflation if it stays only at 3 or 4%. And the final point of the appeal is the elimination of the operational debt of Synod. Now, we're not talking about buildings. We're talking about the operational debt of Synod. Now, we could spend the whole day on that, but I'm going to tell you that there are really two basic ways in which that deficit came into being. As you know, there are 38 districts in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The districts commit to Synod what they are going to give, and Synod then sets its budget. If a district says that they're going to give $500,000 or $600,000 and end up only giving $400,000, you then have a $100,000 or a $200,000 deficit. And Synod then has to meet that, and this is what's happened. The other thing is that Synod in convention from time to time has passed resolutions that the board of directors will do such and such, whether they have to borrow the money or not. Now, I know that's a very simplified answer, but I say basically that's where the deficit, operational deficit of the Missouri Synod has come from. Now, I would share with you a few things that are happening right now. And say we are in the major gift phase. In the major gift phase, it was projected or hoped that we would raise $12 million in the entire phase. We had an objective of raising $7 million by the first week in May, $10 million by next September, and $12 million by the end of the year. I want you to know that God has blessed this appeal thus far more than any of us ever imagined. As I said, our goal for next September is $10 million. We are already at $10,273,000. In preacher's terms, that's sort of like having your sermon done by Thursday morning. And it's a good feeling. They were reasonably well ahead, and God is really blessing it. Now, we're talking about gifts, as I said, of $25,000 and above. Right now, to date, we have received... There's 188 gifts of $25,000 and above. And I think something that is almost miraculous, and that is of that 188 gifts, that roughly 8% of them are gifts from the clergy of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That has never happened before. Gifts of $25,000 and above over a five-year period. I'll tell you something else. This appeal thus far has broken every record of any major appeal in any major church body in the United States. Thus far, you take any major appeal, And when you take gifts of $25,000 and above, the longest continuous streak to get day after day after day has been 22 days. As of right now, we haven't missed a day in 143 days of receiving at least one major gift. We have not missed a day. I say, when you think of the blessings that God has been pouring out, it is unreal. When something else that is very important in this major gift phase, and I can't explain it to you, but it's something that happens in virtually all of the programs, and it's a rule of thumb. What you raise in major gifts, when you get into the congregational phase, you can multiply it by 7. In other words, it looks now that we will go to the $100 million rather than $60 million. I really believe, as sure as I'm standing here before you, that if we had the cooperation of the clergy, of all of the clergy of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you would raise $300 million. There is no question in my mind that the money is out there. I'm going to tell you a few things that have happened. In each district of the 38 districts, we have a major gift coordinator that can be a clergyman or it can be a layman. In the particular district that I'm thinking of right at the moment, it happens to be a pastor. We also have 5 regional directors that work with me. The regional director for this particular area asked the district man whether he would call on Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. And the man who was a pastor said, I don't want to make that call. The regional man said, I think if we're going to get a gift, that it's important that you make that call. And he said, I don't want to make it. And so finally, the regional man asked him if he would at least give it some thought. And he checked back with him in a couple of days, and he did. And he said, I still don't want to make the call, but I will. He made the call, and he received the gift of, I don't recall whether it was $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, or $40,000. But when he came back, and he gave that commitment form to the regional director, he said, I want you to know that is the most difficult thing that I have ever done in my entire ministry of some 27 or 28 years. I've never done anything in my ministry that difficult. And the regional man said, that surprises me. I know that couple, and I think they're fine Christian people. He said, that doesn't have anything to do with it. He said, well, I guess I don't understand. He said, well, let me tell you. He said, during Forward and Remembrance, a few years ago, I guess I was angry at the church or something, but I did not cooperate with the church. In fact, he said, I made a decision as a pastor that I had no right to make. I decided my congregation wouldn't participate in Forward and Remembrance either. And he said, to my knowledge, not one single member of my congregation participated. He said, our congregation was labeled as a problem. And they sent a fellow in to see me to try to encourage me and hopefully through me, the congregation, to participate. He said, when that man came to my office, I want you to know that I literally threw him out of my office. He said, now, that was the man I just called on and received the gift for $30,000 or $40,000. I'm just telling you, maybe it's best you cooperate. You never know what's going to happen. Well, let me tell you another thing. I think of, in fact, the very, very first gift that was received for Alive in Christ. The very first call that was made was on a young couple. When I say young, they're still in their 30s, and by my standards, that's extremely young. But here's a young couple who had been blessed spiritually and materially by the Lord. Dr. Bowman and I made a call on them. They had given $25,000 for Forward and Remembrance, and we asked them for $250,000. And they said, not we, it's not enough. They committed the $250,000, and hopefully we'll increase it. Or let me tell you something else. I wish that every one of you and every pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod would have been able to be with me, I believe it was 4 weeks ago last night, It goes back to last January. We had a meeting here in St. Louis of about 110 men from throughout the United States and Canada. And one of the laymen gave me a name. He said, I don't know whether the name is spelled correctly, and I'm not sure whether it's the correct city, but I know that this man should be seen for alive in Christ. But the name was not spelled correctly. We traced it down, but it was the right man. We gained some information about this man, but not a great deal. And his pastor perhaps was a little bit hesitant. And we as preachers sometimes can get that way. You see, we're afraid that if something goes out of the congregation, we might not be able to make the budget. Let me tell you, it doesn't work that way. We called on this man. It turned out this man was a medical doctor. The man is a tither of his salary to his local congregation. But obviously, what the pastor does not fully understand, he knows that this man also has another invention or whatever you might call it. And all of the money that that man receives in royalties or residuals from this invention, he gives away. Last year, 1984, he gave away $482,000. That's the good part. The sad part is, though he is an active Missouri Synod Lutheran, not one dime went into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the local congregation, or anything else. This man totally funds the Crash Hebrew and the Crash Greek program for the LCA. If you did it, you paid it out of your pocket. And this man, and I'll never forget, as he looked at me and said, how come you are the first Missouri Synod Lutheran that has ever asked me for any money? You know the answer to that. Because the pastor hid the name and was afraid he was going to lose some money. What a tragedy. I hope you think of that story every time that you drink Gatorade from now on, because he was the inventor of Gatorade. They sold $200 million worth last year, and they project $250 million this year, by the way. Let me tell you another story. One of the first calls that they made, in fact, was a name that was given to us. The man was, as I recall, 76, and his wife was 75. And they made a commitment of $60,000. And it was really a sacrificial gift. I mean, tremendously sacrificial. But after it, this man said to me, he said, you know, I have a brother who is 80 years old, who has never been married. And he has lived with us ever since we have been married. He's an active Missouri Synod Lutheran. He goes to church every Sunday. He goes to Bible class every Sunday. And he goes to midweek Bible class. And he's never given anybody or anything $100 in his life. He said, would you talk to him? With a build-up like that, how could you refuse? So I said, I'd be glad to meet with him. He brought his brother out. I said, where is he, first of all? And he said, well, he's in the bedroom. I thought perhaps he was sick. He said, no, he just didn't want to be out here. He got his brother, and this man, 80 years old, was as fit as a fiddle. He didn't wear glasses even to read, no hearing aid. Of course, you have to remember he had never been married. Now, he had really wanted to be married, though, fellas, I don't tell you. But anyway, to make a long story short, sat down with this man, and I asked him, I said, how much are you giving to your local congregation? He told me $5 a week. I said, we can't even talk about a major gift. You do not understand the basic Christian principles of stewardship. And so we discussed for quite some time what stewardship is all about, and he changed his pledge in his local congregation from $5 to $50 a week. And then committed $25,000 to Alive in Christ. And after it was all over, I asked him, I said, you told me and your brother told me that you have never given $100 to anybody or anything in your life. Why are you doing it now? He said, because it's the first time I've ever been asked. And you know, you can go on and on and on with stories. I can tell you one about a couple who was going to retire. And they have their last two children getting through school this spring. And then they were going to retire. You know, they decided to work, both of them, one more year so that they could make a commitment of $25,000 for the scholarship fund. Now, that's what I call dedication. And I want to tell you that I have had, I think, a good vision of the church, my entire ministry, which will be 30 years in a couple of weeks. But my vision of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has been so heightened by the people that I have seen and talked with that it's unbelievable. I tell you, the laity of this church are great. And going into the ministry today is a privilege. There is real dedication out there if you will just show your love for them, and they'll love you back more than you can ever receive. See, it's there. I could tell you stories that have happened for the next several hours, but rather than do that, I'm going to call on John at this time to give you a few nuts and bolts of the timing of the program, and then if there's any time left, we'll be glad to answer any questions. John.
I just want to address one issue. That is that yellow sheet you received, and we do want to give you some time to ask any questions about either the film or any of the materials you have before you. The yellow sheet just gives you kind of a very, very broad overview of the timing of the program. As you can see, earlier this year, from January through April, we were involved in just getting the districts organized. What that meant was we were in the process of recruiting some 1,000 ministry group leaders. And by ministry group leader, I mean either a layman or a pastor who is out there and who will have responsibility through the rest of the program for an average of 6 congregations. So in essence, a ministry group is a local grouping of 6 congregations, and it may follow circuit lines, it may not, but it's a special group set up for Alive in Christ, and at times they will meet as a group, share information, but that group leader is there to help convey the message of Alive in Christ among the congregations in that group. And depending on which district you're in, it could be 4, 5, 6, 8, but it's about an average of 6 congregations in each group. And we just finished about a 3-week period of training these 1,000 group leaders, and the vast majority of them are pastors. In fact, I'd say probably some 95% of them are pastors, and that's going very, very well. Following that right now, the period May through August, it says there are 4 months of building congregational support. What we really mean by that right now is that we're going to be involved in just a little more of an educational process. There's no structured activity. The congregations aren't doing anything structured on behalf of the program in terms of appointing leadership at all, but there's information going out from the synodical office. Group leaders, as I mentioned, are visiting with congregations to convey some of the information. There are films available in all the districts, and additional educational materials will come out as we get further into the fall. So the months ahead, really, prior to the fall, are just an additional time for educational materials. One of the other items that you have there with you, the larger brochure with about 20 or so pages in it, was what Dr. Jansen went through. The other item, which is just kind of a bulletin insert, is the most recent item that went out to congregations for an Emphasis Sunday, which took place just this past Sunday, May 12. But many congregations might be observing that day at a later time, so by the time you get into your congregations, you might even see some of that being utilized. You never know. But there'll be more information like that, Bible studies, bulletin inserts, sermon outlines, prayers, litanies, etc., that are provided by the appeal office to help the congregation to become involved in what we call the mission and ministry study emphasis of the program, as opposed to actual gathering of gifts, which will take place later this year and early in 1986. The period of September through November, we'll be meeting again with those ministry group leaders I talked about. Congregations will begin to organize themselves locally in October and November, so that as we reach the beginning of Advent later this year, the congregations will begin to start their local offering programs. And all that will be done at the direction of that local ministry group leader I talked to you about. The whole organization of the program just kind of works on a pyramid basis. There's Dr. Jansen and his team of regional directors working throughout the church. There are people leading each district, and then on down to that group level where there is a group leader leading 5, 6, 7 of congregations in the appeal. And then you see the period December through April, which would be the period of actual congregational appeals. hopefully wrapping up sometime just about Easter of next year, and leaving the latter part of April and May for any of the congregations that have been a little slower, or whatever reasons they might have, but utilizing that just period as kind of a wrap-up period as far as the timing goes. That's really about it as far as the timing. We've been at this for about 8 months now. As Dr. Jansen, the major gift program is going extremely well. In all of Forward in Remembrance, if you're familiar with that program, there were about 172 major gifts, and we're already beginning to head towards 200, and there was about $7 or $8 million or so received in major gifts in FIR and Forward in Remembrance, and as you heard, we're already over the 10 million mark, and certainly looking ahead towards exceeding that the $12 million objective that we have set for the major gift phase of the program. But perhaps it will be best, since we are kind of on a tight schedule, there's about 15 minutes left, and it will be better, rather than my talking anymore, to turn it back over to Dr. Jansen and let you ask any questions that you have of either of us.
Before I do, I want to share just a couple of other things with you. Last week we're divided into five regions, four in the United States and then the one in Canada, and we had our regional meetings. Monday we were in St. Louis, Tuesday in New York, Wednesday in Minneapolis, Thursday in Edmonton, Canada, and Friday in San Francisco. But I want to share with you the Canadian districts. There are three Canadian districts, and those are not large districts. Their major goal, major gift goal for the three districts combined was $350,000. They have already tripled it. They have crossed a million. Their entire, so to speak, share, if you want to put it numerically, for the entire emphasis an entire appeal, whether major gifts and the congregational phase and everything, was 2.2. Am I right, John? These men sat down last week without our encouraging them, and they said they would raise at least $3 million just in major gifts before they ever get to the congregational phase. It's unreal. Let me show you. I've been very skeptical about some of the young pastors in Synod being very leery on this, and I said that I have changed my mind quite a bit. In fact, I'll tell you one that graduated in 1982. There must be another seminary someplace in the United States because it wasn't here from St. Louis. I don't recall where that other seminary is, but don't quote me on it. But anyway, he'd been in the ministry less than 3 years, and he called, and he asked whether we would make a presentation to one of the members of his church, because this one family, their dedicated Christians, are destroying the stewardship in this congregation. I was down there a couple weeks ago. He's right down, in fact, in Mercedes, Texas, which is right down on the Mexican border. They have the congregation, they have a school, whatever, preschool through eighth grade. And I'll never forget, this young pastor was with me in making a call, and he looked at these people and he said, "You're going to have to do something, because I checked the record before I came out here," and he said, "You folks gave a little over 50% of the entire budget for the church and school and everything in 1 year." Now, that's wonderful if they're capable, but I can see which destroys a congregation. But to see that young pastor's attitude to say, "You need to share this more than just in this local congregation," that it's amazing. Well, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer them for you. Yeah. We don't do it in that way. We say that the average is $10,000, and no one has given the average yet. No, I'm kidding. I know we don't prorate it that way, really. I mean, you try to take and put it out of what is, but we don't go and ask each member for a certain amount. The blessings on people are so different, you know. So it doesn't really work that way. John, you might want to ask them. Yeah. Well, I think that the synodical program is the one that you really need to look at if you're in the parish, and that is His Love, Our Response. I forget how many districts have already completed, but there are 10 in there right now, and there are, I forget, they said they're close to another 15 that will probably be going into it. Hopefully, it will go into all of the congregations, but that's an intensive program over 2 years, you know, time, talents, treasures, finding your spiritual gifts, and so forth. And I will say this, that many of the congregations that have gone into that program, and no congregation is forced, I mean, it's not 100% in all of the districts by any means, but have found that church attendance, and many of them has doubled. The offerings have gone up that way. So I think that is the answer. I really believe that, you know, in the long run, if we could get the congregations to participate. But let me tell you something. We, last fall, you know, at the 38 districts, we were into pastoral conferences of 35, wasn't it, John? And one of the things that we did is took a survey. Now, the pastors did not have to sign it. And you have roughly 6,000 congregations, and believe it or not, all of the pastors weren't at the conferences. That's hard to believe, but there were some who missed. And not all of the pastors answered the questionnaire, which is also hard to believe. But we do have about 2,500, isn't it? Something like that. So you got a fair poll. Do you know that if you take that as a poll, which is roughly 50% of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and you can project that over the whole synod, there is the maximum of 23% of the congregations that have any kind of stewardship program at all. 77% have no stewardship program. You want to know what the problems are in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it's right there. And I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about spiritual commitment. Any other questions? Well, if not, we thank you for coming out, and I want to wish you the Lord's blessings wherever you're going in your ministry, and I may well be that our paths will cross sometime within the next year. So, blessings to you.